I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Everybody's got their strengths. So what I do is I try to channel what would a self-loving, completely confident, no limits mindset person do in this moment. The Gene
Show. Oh. It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, yeah, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Michelle Marie Sorrow, your name is far but sorrowful. What is the first thing you do when you get out of bed on a Monday?
I actually would probably like to talk about what I do before I get out of bed.
Tell me what you do before you get out of bed.
Okay, night before, I put my phone to bed in a drawer across the room so I cannot touch it in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning. So as I'm lying in my bed, and oftentimes I wake up naturally, but if there's an alarm, I can still hear the alarm from my phone. And I lie in my bed, and I have a vision board across the room also where it's on a wall. And I immediately go through the vision board, and I like to have at least 10 things that I'm grateful for. Oftentimes it's the doggy on my side, the cat's at my head, where I live, my life, and what I get to do in the day. But I completely prime myself with gratitude before I even get to the phone. So then the next thing I do once the feet hit the floor is I do grab the phone.
Okay. I love it.
But not until I've gotten myself ready to go emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
I love that. I love that you actually have a routine and a preparation for the Monday prior. No, because that was actually going to be my next question. Is the mentality behind that to kickstart your week in the way that you want it to?
Not only kickstart the week, but I know this is all about Monday, but it's really about every single day. So I'll do that on the weekends as well. It's what it is we can just find ourselves so easily grabbing our phones and mindlessly scrolling through social media or news apps or whatever. And I don't know about you, but I can find myself comparing. I can find myself judging on the amounts of likes or not likes or whatever. And so I'm allowing other information and data, sometimes isn't even real, it's online smoke and mirrors, to fill me up before I choose the thoughts to fill myself up. So it's a mindset tool that I utilize every day.
Wow. It's a mindset tool. And you're also being very mindful about what you let into your space.
100%.
Fantastic. I love the fact that you're a host on Extra. You're quite successful and you're extremely humble about it. Uh-huh. I'm just wondering, was there ever a time that you hated Mondays? And if so, can you tell us why?
I hated Mondays for a long time. Did you know that Mondays are the highest rate of suicide day?
Mondays? Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
I knew it was the highest rate of where people call in sick, but I didn't know about the suicide rate. That's...
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And it has been for many, many years, and it makes me sad. So yeah, I can relate to not wanting to start my week and dreading Monday because it meant 5 whole days of having to get through a work week of, especially if I wasn't fulfilled. And it was always around employment. So if there was a career that I had, because I had a 10-year career, made a lot of money, but it was never fully fulfilling. Maybe a couple of years out of it when it was a lot of fun and exciting and new, but it was my real estate career. Toward the end, it was, I felt enslaved and entrapped, and I really couldn't figure out how to break through. So Mondays were highly depressing.
Wow. Wow. And just think of the shift that you have now, the fact that you prepare for Monday, you have a vision board up there. I'm wondering if the journey to make vision boards and actually really put your mind to manifesting a career that you love, was that what inspired that for you?
A vision board was actually a huge piece of what I now have, because I know you know, Jenny, like I've designed my dream life, and I'm very grateful and quite humble about it because I'm aware that it could change at any minute. But Yeah, so a vision board was key. My languaging was key. I also remember being in my cubicle in my real estate office, and I had already purchased a card congratulating myself on the next career that I wanted, which seemed outrageous and impossible to attain. And I wrote myself a whole long card of someone like being my number one fan and biggest cheerleader of support for accomplishing that dream and making it happen. And I mailed it to myself from my office because I wanted to just harness all the feelings of what it would feel like to have that dream come true.
I think they call that magical manifestation, or what's that form of manifestation where you're actually living and experiencing that very, I guess, circumstance that you hope for yourself. I think that's what it's called, what you kind of reenacted there. But I love the idea of the fact that you mailed a letter to yourself, because not many people, like I find people who journal and they do things like that, but mailing a letter to yourself or a card to yourself, more to the point, that's pretty fucking amazing.
I loved it. And then when I got the card, because it was just like 3 days later, it was local, I didn't open it because I was nowhere near there. But it was a few months later where I get the chills actually talking about it right now. I saved the card until I'd signed the contract. I wanted to be a full-time TV host, and I had been testing everywhere and down to the final two, or taping, you know, or even getting hired, but only doing just a few episodes in a pilot or whatever. And nothing was breaking through to the point where I could leave the old career and be full in the new career because it was financially viable. And when I signed the contract at HSN, which was my first full-time hosting gig, I opened up the card and I wept, because it was that belief in myself that I was scared to even dream. But between the vision board and visioning and having language around it needing to happen, must happen, there was no other option but for it to happen. And then mailing myself a card, congratulating myself on it happening. It was just this unbelievable gratitude for me that I was having for myself that I never gave up.
I love that attitude of how you never gave up and what you just went through from there. You mentioned a few times in your own podcast, The Mindset Mashup, that you're a recovering perfectionist. Tell me, I love that term because not many people actually are aware that they actually are recovering perfectionists first and foremost. But tell me, when did you make that shift in your life? Because that's a pretty significant shift, and not to have a play on words there, but it is a pretty big shift from where you were, because I'm assuming the perfectionist mentality is one that has a lot of criticism, anxiety, that would be quite a heavy burden to carry with you.
Oh, so much just feeling like you can't move forward.
Yeah.
It's never going to be good enough, and it being anything, right? My body, my career, my finances, my home, my boyfriend, my family, my friends, all of it. And so one by one, the antidote for me is just being deeply grateful for everything that I have. And so there's always going to be times when it tries to come up, i.e. my podcast. You just made a funny pun. The original podcast title was called Significant Shift. And then I dug a little bit deeper. The perfectionist in me can work for me and work against me. So when it's working for me, I appreciate it. But then I dug deeper and I was like, it's not quite it. And I thought it was going to be called The Blind Spot Breakthrough. And then I dug a little bit deeper and I was like, no, it's really all about mindset. So then it became The Mindset Mashup. So that would be the perfectionist that's still trying to get it right. But the old perfectionist, which I'm recovering from, is it'll never be good enough, so you may as well not even try.
Wow. The kind of analysis paralysis and imposter syndrome type thing.
Yes, totally.
Well, speaking of that imposter syndrome, like I know you mentioned it quite a bit off air to me, and I'm really privilege that you share such stuff with me, but I find it sometimes not I don't want to use the word amusing, but you know, the fact that you are who you are and still you feel imposter syndrome is quite humbling for me. I'm like, well, if Michelle goes through it, it's okay if I go through it or someone else. But what are some ways that you combat that? Because I know you're a very in action person. You keep moving no matter what. You just keep moving forward. You keep pushing through. Has that really helped you overcome the imposter syndrome that you've been feeling with this podcast?
That's a good question. There's a couple of things that I do off the top of my head. One is I know that everything that I now have and that I enjoy and that I appreciate and that lights me up was once outside of my comfort zone. Having a dog, moving across the country, starting, you know, a third new career, launching a podcast. All of the things that bring me so much joy and gratification were once out of my comfort zone. So what I like to ask myself now is, you know, I like to check it in real time. Is this outside of my comfort zone? And if I feel slightly kinked, like a hose kink, or tight or tense, then I know I must move forward because I know that I'm on the precipice of a breakthrough. And so that's just what's huge for me is anytime I feel uncomfortable or scared, then I know I must. And I might not always in that moment, but I know I have no other choice but to ultimately move forward because it's the only way to go to get what I know eventually I will then have and love and appreciate and be so lit up by. And then, of course, it's just this new normal that becomes a new normal and it's an upward, beautiful cycle. The second piece to that is, and I utilize this one all the time, my areas in which I can get in a corner and feel trapped by perfectionism, so I get paralyzed in fear, could be someone else's area if they don't even consider that, right? Like that's just a bust through. They don't even think about what others are thinking. They just do it anyway. So everybody's got their strengths. But so what I do is I try to channel what would a self-loving, completely confident, no limits mindset person do in this moment? For example, body dysmorphia, that's another area where I know so many humans can get plagued by perfectionism. You know, instead of looking in the mirror and looking at all the areas that I'm not loving, I sometimes will literally have to not look in the mirror and just take on the mindset of what would a woman do who's totally rocking self-love right now? What would she do in this moment? She would just walk out the door, have total confidence, and just be in the most beautiful state of energy.
Absolutely. Or in other words, what would Oprah Winfrey do, right?
Well, yes, but at the same time, Oprah, as we all know, she publicly shares the pain around her body and her weight. So not always. Like I remember she was interviewed by Barbara Walters in a 2020 special, and Barbara said, I remember this blowing Barbara Walters away because she couldn't believe it because Barbara couldn't relate. Again, everybody's issue is so unique. Barbara said something to the effect of, you know, if when life ends, there was one thing that you weren't able to master, what would you feel like would be a disappointment that you couldn't just break through? And I'm paraphrasing, but Oprah said, I would feel devastated if I couldn't figure out how to get peace around my body. So I can't say that Oprah actually rocks that. You
That's
know, she
true.
Does her best,
yeah.
But she shares, my God, you know, I was wearing three different Spanx and I couldn't breathe and all I was thinking about is the bread that I wanted to eat. So she battles that. But what I love is that she processes real in real time.
That's so true. I love what you said about processing in real time. One of the things that I heard in your podcast, which is a quote that's kind of stuck with me and I kind of use it to, you know, speak to my friends and encourage my friends on this is a quote by, is it Ram Dass or maybe it's Rumi? I'm paraphrasing here, but the quote was essentially like, your environment is stronger than your will. So I'm curious to know who the five closest people are in your life and if you could describe each of them with one word.
Oh my. So the quote, yeah, was by Ram Dass, and what he actually said, just to be really specific, because people think it's so definitive, what he says is that environment can be more powerful than your own will. So not definitively yes, but in other words, you know, be really aware of what you're bringing into any space or environment because you do have the power to shift it. And of course, that's what so many of the wonderful personal development experts and masters speak about all the time is what do you want to bring to the room, to the space, to the meeting, to the conversation, because we have so much power within us. But my top people are mostly family. So my mom, and I would call her warrior. My sister, I would call her willing. My father, I would call him joyful. I don't want to cry thinking about these people because they just inspire me so much. My stepfather, I would call him fierce. And just because I spend every moment with him, my puppy Samson, I hope that's okay because I spend almost every moment with him, I would call him pure love.
Oh, that's quite a tribe that you've got there, Michelle. quite a force that you've got. I can now kind of glimpse into the fact that why you're so propelled to live such an aligned life. Let's move on to some lighter questions. Have you ever gotten a friend request on Facebook from someone that you didn't particularly like?
Yes.
How did you respond to that? Did you ignore? Did you write a message back going, sorry, I can't be your friend? What did you do?
Such a good question. I ignore and delete.
Ah, I'm not sure how to respond in that. I remember I got a friend request from a girl who I went to an all-girls Catholic school. I remember she was one of the first people I told about my sexuality. I didn't really understand what was going on. I was just still a teenager and trying to figure everything out. I remember I told her that I think I had a crush on a female teacher, and her response was, "You'll get away from me. I'm going to go tell a girl named, funnily enough, Michelle." And this girl sent me a friend request. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, you want to be friends?" And I thought to myself, like, do I ignore this? I think I just kept it there, and I think it eventually just faded away. But I'm just curious, when people get friend requests from people that are from their past who weren't particularly nice to them, how do they respond? So you just ignore and delete.
Yeah, and there haven't been that many. But for example, it's so funny, I was just thinking of this person yesterday. I had a boyfriend in high school, and then I broke up with him, and he started dating this girl right after me, and they got married and are still married. They have, I think, 2 or 3 kids. I don't really know. I'm not connected with either one of them, but this is what I've heard over the years. But shortly after they started dating, he still wanted, supposedly, he wasn't quite over me, and he would share that with her. We were in high school, but we were all at this, maybe we were out of high school because we were old enough to drink, because we were at a bar. Sorry. Maybe I was visiting. That's right. And, or maybe I had a fake ID. That part of the story, disregard. Anyway, I was in my hometown at a local little karaoke bar, and I had gotten on stage and I sang Just You and I, that Lionel Richie, Crystal Gayle, I think. No, Eddie Money and Crystal Gayle. Sorry, it's like way back. And we kind of blew it out of the water. I'm not a singer, but I was that night. And we got like a standing ovation and everybody was just going crazy. Well, she was in the bar. She was in the back playing pool. And she walked up, and I was a little bit nervous because I knew she was dating the ex. And she said, "Nice job." I'll never forget it, with this like fake smile on her face. And then she threw her drink into my face. And it was filled with black pepper. And so it was totally premeditated. I didn't go to the hospital, but I probably should have. My eyes got swollen. I couldn't see. It was awful. She was supposedly banned from that establishment forever. But years and years and years later, she sent me a friend request.
Oh, did it come with like pepper?
Not even a note of like, "Hey, I remember what happened." And, you know, if someone is accountable, I'm usually 100% open to anything. If someone says, "Listen, what I did was whatever," and they just want to be accountable to any degree, I'm going to be cool. But no, and it's just so funny because I was thinking of that yesterday. I don't know why. So no, if I get something like that, or someone who tried to bully me. There was a girl who announced that she was going to beat me up, and she had the entire junior high class behind her. Ouch. During lunch. And she was going to beat me up, and I was scared, and I called my mom to come pick me up. And that moment stands out so vividly in my, you know, 13th year of living on the planet. And she sent me a friend request. It's like, are you kidding? You know, so no, yeah, no, ignore, delete.
Wow. No, I love what you touched on there too, because I'm the same. Had you got a message saying, "Look, sorry about this, I just wanted to reach out so we can make amends," I would appreciate that message before hitting accept, or maybe ignore. I don't know. But I think you've hit the nail right on the head there. It's that just reach out. It's like, "Hey, I'm just going to forget everything I ever did." But it speaks volumes as to how little actions have kind of a magnitude of a ripple effect, if you know what I mean. I know it's just a Facebook friend request, but just that memory in you is ingrained, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And listen, maybe some others would say, "Oh my gosh, that was, you know, over 20 years ago. Who cares?" But I think it's important to honor your boundaries. And it, listen, if it was someone that just said, "Listen, what I did was small-minded," or "What I did was petty because I was hurting or I was feeling jealous," or whatever, 100% I'd be like, "You know, nice of you to connect." I don't know if I would accept them, but I might write them back because I don't have a need. We're not friends. I try to actually be connected with people in my social media where I really would care to like something that they post. And I wouldn't have anything in common with her. Like, I don't need to grow my friends list just because, or because I'm worried what you might think of me if I didn't accept it. There's boundaries, there's standards, and I think social media is such an awesome barometer for how we deal with life in our social situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it does kind of put a magnifying glass on who we really are. We can't really run from it anymore.
No, exactly. And I really don't like to be fake on it. And likewise, for if I'm friends with people in social media that I actually really liked, especially with the current, you know, political administration, and, you know, I'm not interested in discussing which side I'm on or in the middle or whatever. But if I'm constantly seeing in my feed just such negativity that doesn't resonate with where I am, I will unfollow. So I didn't unfriend, but like my feed now is so clean. Like everything, I get to see what I want to see. It's my feed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
And then if I post something and someone comes on and says something about it, then I'm usually going to just unfriend them, honestly, because it's not necessary. Like, for example, one of my favorite yoga teachers, this is bizarre, yoga teachers, one of my very favorites in LA. I had posted something about, I love Tony Robbins, and I had just returned from a public live event, and she had never been to a live event, by the way, but I had posted something about some amazing breakthrough that I had gotten in that 3.5 days. And all she posted was, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're following him. That's such a cult."
Oh.
And I thought, you know, delete. Honestly, like, I don't need it. You have never been. Why would you post that? That says more about you than it could ever say about me. It doesn't matter if you don't agree. Just don't chime in on my post. Don't rain on my parade.
And how does that serve you? Absolutely. But how does that comment serve you in your growth? When I say that, how does it serve you? Like, I just think about her and, like, how would that saying that to you benefit you at all? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But what it showed me is that I had such a high regard for her mindset because of who she was in the yoga room. And then that showed me I actually don't, because I really believe that how you do anything is how you do everything. And if she could say that, then it just makes me wonder about so much else. And listen, I'm not so extreme where everything is black and white. It's just in this particular instance, for her to take the time and troll when she has shown nothing but like love for me in general in her room and all the classes that I attended, it didn't match up. And when it doesn't match up and it's so extreme like that, it's just like, oh, thank you for showing me what I needed to see.
Exactly. Exactly. I found the same with certain people where they were kind of, I remember when I started my spiritual journey, one of the reactions I got was, "You joined a cult." And, you know, and I was a little bit impressionable back then. I'm like, oh, maybe I have joined a cult. They chant and they dress funny and they do this. But I kind of think of it. And one of the things the head spiritual teacher said when I started meditating at this school was, all teachers or all guru are like, or spirituality is like ice cream. You know, it comes in different flavors and shapes and forms, but at the end of the day, it's all ice cream. It's what flavor you're drawn to most and that serves you most is what counts. And I went, okay, well, firstly, you use the food analogy, you've got me. And secondly, it makes perfect sense. And I love that. And since then, I'm like, and I also, since I've heard that, I also deploy that same empathy when people come to me saying, oh, I'm doing this course. I'm like, great. If it's working for you, great. It doesn't have to work for me because I'm not doing the course.
Exactly. Let others be. Live and let live.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's my religion.
I love this conversation, Michelle. So I'm going to pull up a couple more lighter questions. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Now tell me,
who doesn't?
Where do you draw the line of phone use in the bathroom? Like, do you take phone calls? Do you mute the phone when the plop happens? Like, roll with me.
That's
here.
That's hilarious. Okay. So
you're going to email me after this going, "Ginny, can you please take that part out?"
I'm not going to lie. It has happened where the phone had to go into the bathroom during that time and there was a mute.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'm glad. Thank you so much for being so honest about that.
I'm sure everybody has.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it happens. We've got to mute it sometimes. Okay.
Yes.
Well, this has been a delightful conversation, Michelle. I've got one last question to wrap up with. Clearly, you meditate and you kind of get into your zone and your mindset. I'm wondering if there's a mantra or affirmation that's really helped you.
There's something that I have been working with lately for about a year and a half. There's two. One is, life is always happening for me, never to me. So no matter what is going on, like right now, I'm in the midst of a contract negotiation, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I thought it was completely resolved, and now I'm not sure. And well, it's shifting is what it is. That's happening for sure. And what I know is that life is always happening for me, and that everything works out for my highest and best good. So no matter what happens, even if it doesn't go the way I thought it should, it's happening for me. Then the second piece to that is sometimes, you know, we all have these bullshit thoughts that try to come and get us at any time and take us back to old fears or limiting beliefs. So I now say, shut the fuck up. And it works. And not to be super rude about it, but it's like, shut the fuck up. Anyway, so yeah.
Fantastic.
I lead a mastermind, and I got that from one of the girls in my mastermind, so I can't take full credit, but we all use it now. There's like 25 of us in this group, and we all use it all the time, because it's amazing how if a thought comes in and you're able to catch it, be self-aware enough to catch it, then you can tell it what to do. You can either give it power and let it rule you if it's, you know, something that you love, or you can just nip it and tell it where to go.
Wow. STFU is the mantra Michelle Sorrow uses
daily. We have
daily.
A hashtag.
STFU. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for gracing me with your presence on Monday Mocha. I'm sure your stories will help people embrace Monday more and hopefully align themselves with enjoying 365 days of the year rather than 100. So thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always nice to connect with you.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.